Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm bringing you a mashup all about dating because, hey, what better way to prepare for the summer than with tips and tricks for getting back in the field? Topics include dating plans, what to do when you're not too keen on the dating scene, rejection. Believe it or not, it can be beneficial, but how do you deal with it? First dates and power moves because, hey, efficiency is key. And you're new to online dating, where to start, and what are the rules anyway? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com because you're going to love it. And you guys, we release 3 podcasts a week. So wherever you listen to podcasts, it's super helpful when you subscribe. And we love when you comment. It's great. It helps us and it helps you. And also, you can find me on SiriusXM Radio Stars, Channel 109, Monday through Friday. It's 5 to 7 Pacific, and you guys can call in with your sex and dating questions. And if you want a free 30-day trial, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. And as always, you can follow us on all social media, wherever you're at SexWithEmily across the board. All right, everyone, I hope you enjoy this dating mashup show. I was thinking about some of the things that we could talk about tonight about dating. Like, are you dating someone new? Are you dating a few people? I can help you with all that stuff. And so there are some top tips, and I'm like, I thought I haven't told you about these things yet that I believe are would be very helpful for you and that are helpful in all dating situations, which is not easy right now. I mean, it's not. I get it. Everyone always thinks wherever they live in the very worst town ever to date in. People always say that. Like, they're like, when I was in San Francisco, they're like, oh God, it's the worst town. No, you know, like, check your balls at the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, just really, like, there's no men, don't ask you out. And then in LA, everyone thinks the guys are like too into themselves and women just aren't available. Whatever, everyone has a story. And then New York, they say the same thing. And then if you live in the middle of the States, you're like, there's no one here. But I always believe, and I know this to be true, that first of all, wherever you go, there you are. So it's not like you have to move somewhere else and you're going to find that person. But there's single people anywhere, everywhere. In fact, there's more single people now on the planet.
Than ever.
Than ever before. So it's kind of a good time to be single.
I would say so.
And more ways to date and meet people.
It is.
Yes.
Technology.
And people are like, oh God, I can't do the apps. Like, I'm, because here's the thing about the apps, and we have a lot to say about that, but tonight I'm just going to focus on some basic dating stuff. But this is what I want to say about the apps, and definitely call me with your questions if you have questions about them. 888-94-STARS is that if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've been single for a while and I haven't met anyone, but I'm not going to do the apps because the apps, people just want to hook up. or everyone's an asshole. It's not true. Like, we know ways to help you with that as well, and that I think it's a service to yourself. It's a numbers game.
It is. And I know plenty of people that have had actually, you know, success. Like, they are in love. They've gotten married. They've, you know.
So many babies, the whole thing. Like, there's whole lives that happen. So it's, there's still not that stigma. You don't have to whisper that I met someone online. So I just want to say that. But first, starting about dating is that if you are dating right now and you're like, you know, I just, it's been challenging or I'm not sure. Like, have you done this yet? Have you really thought about yourself and what you actually want? Who are you as a person? What do you want out of life? What are your plans for your career? Like, what, like, who are you? Because the more we know about ourselves, then we know, what do I want in a relationship? And then my next step is like, do you know what you want in a partner? Like, have you really thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's important to you? What are your deal breakers? And, you know, because I think that sometimes it's like when you go shopping and you're not really looking for anything in particular and you just end up like buying a bunch of stuff you don't need.
I do that
all the time. In fact, I'm starting to stop doing that. I'm like, I don't need anything. Like, I should just go home and try on my clothes. Like, do I really need another pair of boots? But dating can get frustrating like that when you're like, I'm not really sure. So when you get clear, like, you literally write it out. And there's some great books on it and great. I used to love this book. I used to recommend this, If the Buddha Dated. Because I thought it was cool because it made you really go deep and asked you all these questions down to like the superficial things, like they have to be this height and whatever, to like deeply in your soul, like how do you want to feel with this person? So define it however you want. Like, just define it, but know that, like, get specific and then know, like, if someone's a smoker, like, I'm out. If someone's not my religion, that's not going to work for me. Just things that you know.
Yeah, like, why waste time on things that you know
aren't
going to serve you?
Exactly. And the other thing is, you guys, here's the thing. Now, a lot of people think about casually, like a lot of people are casually dating right now. There's a lot of people I know I hear from who are like, you've been married for 20 years and you just got out of a relationship, a marriage or a long-term thing. And you're like, I don't even know how to date anymore. Like, the apps weren't around. People didn't text back when I was dating. You know, I got fixed up with my partner. Like, what do we do? And I think, you know, people are texting more now. They might not talk right away, but if you've met someone and you want to make sure, I think it's okay to pick up the phone and have a call first so you don't waste time. And I also think casually dating a few people is another thing that people don't realize, is that it's okay to date a few people at once. Like, I think people are used to like, well, I met someone, I've gone on a date with someone, and so I'm going to assume that it's only about the two of us and that they're probably not dating anyone, or maybe it's going to, I should just stick with one person. And I think if you haven't dated in a while, or if you're just starting a date, or wherever you're at, it's okay to be dating several people. And you don't have to feel guilty or bad or weird.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have this notion that we're supposed to put all of our time and our efforts into this one person we just met, but then you're kind of wasting energy on something that might not work out when you could, you know, take things slower with that person and date a couple other people. See which one's giving you the most.
Exactly.
That you like, the best stuff that you like.
And I think that's important for everything. Like, I say this often about a therapist. If you're looking for a therapist, I'm like, it's a real relationship you are entering into. It's okay to go see two or three. You're not going to love every therapist. And the same goes for dating. And I also think it's true, though. Like, you're not going to like them, right?
No, it's true.
Right.
I'm actually more used to dating multiple people in at once than being in with one person. So what I'm in now is kind of, it's not new to me, but it's been quite some time.
Right.
Since
I've
done this.
You haven't been juggling.
But I think the thing is about being honest about the fact that you are dating multiple people.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly. I think that the more honest and authentic we are, so this is kind of what I'm telling you now, is that be honest with yourself and then be honest with the people you're dating. That like, hey, I'm seeing other people, and just assume that they probably are too. If you haven't had the conversation about being exclusive with someone, I guarantee it, they're dating other people. So, and then, you know, be real about what kind of relationship you want. Like, if you know, like, I am just looking for casual sex, or I'm dating other people, or I'm actually looking for a long-term relationship, I'm want to have kids, you know, whatever, you know, like, be clear about that and, you know, talk about it right away so we don't waste time. And the other thing that I think that we forget when people are like, going back to like, I'm just throwing out all the things that I've been in my mind about this, is that we often think that we can't, we only have to meet someone in a very specific way, like either someone introduces us or we meet them on a dating app. But I want you guys to put this in your minds. Be open to meeting people anywhere, anywhere you go. And then be almost expecting it, because I think now this is what I've noticed lately, and we've talked about this, Jame, how we're so on our phones mm-hmm. all the time that we're missing. Like whenever you walk into a store, like I was in a waiting room the other day or getting my tires fixed, like everyone was staring at their phone. Like usually in the mm-hmm. back, and you'd be like, back in the day, you'd be like, hey, how you doing? Because you have nothing to do. There's yeah. no great magazines in the car shop. There never is. They have the car magazines. I don't want to read them. You would just talk to someone because like my car is taking longer. But now we have our little entertainment center with us. So we're not meeting people. So you could be at the gym, in line at the grocery store. Doesn't matter. Like in the subway, like they're single people. They're in front of you. Just start talking to them. Say hi.
Isn't that how people, like a lot of times too, people always want that meet cute
yes.
thing, whatever happens. Like yeah. you're not going to get that meet cute if you're not being open to
meeting. Yes, yeah. exactly. Like it's just not going to happen if you're like shut down. So maybe put the phone down if you're somewhere where you're like, oh, I could meet someone, or just know that everywhere is potential.
Not that I'm like dating right now, but I did actually, there have been a few times when I've been out and I'm even though I am like committed, when I'm like at a place by myself, if I'm waiting for a friend or whatever, I did make a conscious effort to put my phone down and not be staring at it.
Oh.
And just to be like, because one, it makes you feel more comfortable when you're by yourself at places, because I feel like a lot of times people are like, I need a friend. I need right. something. But kind of just, I envy those people that go out on their own and they just seem content.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that.
That's
more.
That's good. That's mature.
You know?
And evolved. I mean, like I always say that, not like a mature human, but like a mature in our yeah. digital, I'm trying to keep my phone outside the bedroom at night. like that's I'm good. Trying to be mature the way I'm managing my technology. All those things. So I think that's true. Like we meet, you know, you just meet people out in the world. And if you meet someone that you like, I think ask them out. Like, just do it and let them know, like, be specific. And if you do ask someone out, have a plan in mind. Now, remember mm-hmm. this, because we still get emails and questions from people all the time. They're like, why did this person ask me out and not have a plan? Or, like, we all want someone to, like, if you do the asking, think of something to do. And I don't think the date has to be elaborate.
Mm-mm.
I don't think you need to spend a lot of money. You could be creative. Or if you're just the kind of person that wants to meet for coffee and a drink and not commit, that's fine. But like, have the plan.
Do you ask people out or have you?
I have not asked anyone out. I'm trying to think if I ever have. I haven't. But I would. I've always been in relationships. Or I've met someone
yeah.
and we've mutually liked each other.
Ah.
Have you asked anyone out?
I have.
You have.
I'm very forward.
I know. I love that everything about you. Forward. It's good. I think that women, and I used to say years ago, no, kind of like you're taking that power away, or men want to be chasing is a whole thing. But I think we all should be asking people. If we find someone interesting, hey, let's go out. Let's do something. Like follow through if you meet someone, you have that connection. Don't wait for that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear from men all the time who are like, they hear years later someone liked him and they're like, I wish I knew because I never asked her out, or she was going to ask me out. And this goes for same sex couples, of course, mm-hmm. anywhere you are. Like if you see someone, like you just be honest. I think we're all really afraid of rejection
mm-hmm.
and being hurt in every situation. And so I think we just can't take it personally. Someone's going to say no to us. And then also if you are on the apps, or let's say you're on the app, so you're just going on a date. Mm-hmm. This is the other thing that people, I used to get tripped up on this too, and who knows, could happen again, but now that we're talking about it. If you go out with someone on a date and you think it was great, and they don't ask you out again, or vice versa, or they don't, yeah, and in your mind, you're feeling like, what'd I do wrong? And you're trying to analyze it. Maybe you went on a few dates. If you went on 3 dates with someone, that should be the end that we hear. Like, we shouldn't talk about it anymore. You shouldn't think about it. You shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You know, just keep getting back out there again. Like, don't mm-hmm. let that weigh you down. The most important thing is to get out, keep dating, and don't keep asking. Like, don't keep thinking, like, what did I do wrong and obsessed? Because when you are dating and you're in that world, you can feel like, you can just start to feel bad about yourself. Like, there's nobody, why don't people like me? And was it something I said or wore or did? And the truth is, it doesn't matter why you didn't get asked out again. It could be a million reasons, and it's probably not the things that you're worried about.
Exactly. And I think a lot of us, and I used to feel this way, everyone needs to like me.
Yes.
I need everyone that I meet to like me. Otherwise, my life is not fulfilled. And I've had to work to get past that. Because there are so many people on the planet, there's no way. Not everyone's going to like you.
People pleasing. It's true. That's a good point, too, because on dates, I've done that, too. Like, I think that a lot of times we go into dates as the pleasers, and we're like, I don't even know how I feel about this person that's sitting across from me on this date. I'm just going to try to get them to like me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even paying attention if I like them, because I want them to like me. And then I'll decide. But when you're on a date, that is such a great time to be super present and just think, like, how do I feel right now? How is this person making me feel? Like, it's about both of you together, because I think there'd be a lot less confusion if we did all, like, were present, paid attention to, like, messaging from people and whatever they're making us feel.
Yeah, because you get so hung up on the rejection that you forget to ask yourself, did I even want to date this person?
Would I ever want to see this person again? Do I want to kiss them? Am I attracted to this person? So, and I think one of the most important things, too, is to think about your past. Like, this is an important lesson that I think sometimes we go through breakups and we just, like, are angry or something bad happened and we're like, you know, my ex was an asshole and everyone's an asshole. But I think we do our best learning about ourselves, like, really important lessons we learn in relationships with people. And then when we break up, it's a great time to look at what we've learned. Like, what did I learn from this relationship? What was my part in it? That's a big one, especially if you've been dating for a long time and there's a commonality. Guess what? It's you, right? Not the person. You dated 10 people, and every time there's some kind of issue around sex or intimacy or something, you're like, oh, what is my part in it? Because every relationship is 50-50. And I'm going to say it this way, even if someone cheated and did the unthinkable, you have a part in that. In some way, like, in your reaction to it, you didn't make someone cheat on you. People are gonna be like, I swear I was the best person ever. I mean, like, what did you, rather than just being angry that your partner cheated, like, that doesn't mean that the whole relationship was horrible. There's still parts, I mean, the whole, you know what I'm saying? There was probably some good things, and there's still lessons to learn if something really bad happened at the end, is my point.
Definitely.
So it doesn't mean, like, oh, but he was just a jerk, or she was a bitch, or whatever it is. So look at that. Like, it's such good. That's why I think it's important to try to not jump right into a relationship when you're single. And it's important to take time to, like, really learn about who you are again single, and then what you want once you get back out there. Mm-hmm. And I used to not do that because I felt like I would go from one to the next because I didn't like being alone. And then I realized, wait, who the hell is Emily without a man? Like, who am I in the world? So then I would take that time. And then it was a lot clearer when I started dating again, like, what the hell do I want? The thing about rejection, like we always say, man, you always say, great, is, like, it's not going to kill you. Like, to go up and talk to someone, you're not going to die if she says no, or the worst thing that happens, and you get better. But I think about it, like, also working in entertainment, you know, all about rejection.
All day
long. And I didn't know that when I started that, you know, the first time I got rejected, I did a pilot that didn't get picked up. Mm-hmm. I was devastated. You know, I was like in bed. I was like, I can't, my life is over. You know, and then you just realize, oh, that happens actually all the time. My mom's like, George Clooney had 13 pilots that didn't get picked up before he had, you know. I'm like, okay, mom, I get it. I get it. And now you do get it. And you get, and also being on, you know, so you get that it's going to be rejection, and that it's just about, it's not about, you know, how many times you fall down. It's about how you get back up. And the truth is that the things in life, you know, I think our success in life is built on a lot of rejection, because it makes, if you keep going and you keep going and you don't stop yourself. So I think we all just have to, you know, learn to deal with it and look at it as a gift sometimes when you get rejected.
Yeah.
And how you can move forward from that and create the life that you want. Sound like a
self-help speaker. Don't dwell on things.
Don't dwell on it. But I was going to also say and also, like, the fear of speaking. I used to be when we did the live show, so Menace and I are going on the 10th year of doing this show. I was live on, I started as a podcast, and then I was live on the radio, live, never been in a radio studio before the first night I was on. So the first year I was terrified, or the first 6 months. Like, I would prep for 12 hours before the show that whole day. And then the whole time driving to the station, I would have this huge pit in my stomach. It's scary. And now I'm like, I walk in, I don't think about, you know what I'm saying? You get used to those things and you get better at it. So I believe that everything, you know, you didn't used to be afraid of being on the radio sometimes.
Yeah, I could barely speak. They would have to put the volume up all the way.
Yeah. And now look at you. You can't shut up. So,
well, kind of.
No, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying.
I still fumble when I have a lot of people looking at me at the same time. I do a morning radio show where there's three other people in the room. And at any moment I'm thinking, they're not interested in anything that I'm saying. Right. And then I start fumbling over my words because they're, like, all looking at me.
Because you get in your head.
Yeah. And I go crazy.
I think we're all so afraid of being judged, and we think like rejection is like such a, you know, it's a death. It's like our worst thing ever, because we all have self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And so if someone rejects us, we think they're right. Mm-hmm. You know, we take their side. Like, they're right. They're rejecting me. And then we make up stories. Oh, he doesn't want to date me. He didn't call me back because I said this, you know, I insulted, you know, his mother over dinner, mm-hmm. or what she did for a living, or my dress was too short, or I was really slutty, or I drank too much. And most times the things that we worry about aren't even really what's happening. So when you're sitting there on the morning show, you're awesome on the show. They're not thinking Menace is a boring tool. They wouldn't have you on. But in our minds, we tend to go to that place and it makes us nervous.
Oh, I'm the worst person ever.
Right. You know? I'm the worst person ever, and they're right. So rejection gives us a chance to, like, you know, mm-hmm. be mean to ourselves.
But, and another thing too, believe it or not, rejection, or even if they're into you, is awesome either way. Why? Because if you get rejected, you're not wasting any more of your time on that person, you know?
Exactly. You're it's not. A gift.
Yeah.
Because then they showed you who they are. They're not into you. Yeah. Move on.
You can be cool with them or not. And then you get to move on and move on to the next person.
Exactly.
You know, if you just stay in that, you know, friend zone, or just in that limbo, you don't know if they like you or not, and you're too afraid to, you know, make that next move, you're going to waste so much time in your life or other opportunities that you can meet somebody else.
And that's why you should, you're absolutely right. And so I always say, you know, sometimes with people, when you hear, we're going to get into this in a minute, but when you hear, you know, we went on 2 dates, it was the best dates, I thought he was the mm-hmm. one, and then he didn't call. It's like, okay, well, better, he did you a favor, actually, mm-hmm. because you thought it was great. It wasn't, this is going to hurt maybe for a few weeks, but don't, you know, go, you know, don't criticize yourself and think it's something that you did. He showed you exactly who he was. Maybe he's not into you. It's probably, maybe he has another girlfriend. Who knows what happened? It doesn't matter. Put that aside and move forward, because so many people are in relationships for way too long.
Yeah.
It should be over like in 5 minutes and they're together mm-hmm. for 3 years. The thing about rejection is it can be very bone crushing, right? Especially when it comes to love. It's like your knife goes through the heart when someone doesn't text you back, call you back, or if you're in love with them, even more, you know, mm-hmm. even more so, like you're in a relationship. You think, am I not worthy of love? Am I not good enough? Is it me that needs, you know, do I need to change? Is it my problem? And the initial shock of rejection can make you feel like you can't breathe, and you think, I'm going to become someone else because this person doesn't like me. So what I'm saying is that if a relationship is done and someone rejects you, it's how you move on. So dating is a numbers game. You just got to keep putting yourself out there, and the possibility of being rejected looms. Sure it does, and you will get rejected. You might reject it 100 times, but you keep going until you meet someone, and it is not going to kill you, and I guarantee it makes you stronger. So let me move on to the tips of this. So let's say you're at a bar.
All right. I'm at a bar.
And you're chatting up someone, and things seem like they're going really well, and let's say you ask for their number. You ask a chick for a number.
Okay.
And she says no. How would you respond?
Say, okay, thank you.
Right. Okay, you say, thanks. Right. Moving on. Okay.
Thank you.
So, right. And then maybe you talk to someone else, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So I think, the best way to say, okay, maybe you might want to say you missed out on a great time, but it was nice to meet you, and move on. That's it.
No. What? Don't do that.
Why?
Then she'll think you're a dork.
Okay, fine. Just say, okay, thanks, whatever. Have a good night. And then there's a million other people in the bar. Don't let this stuff, you know, get you down on it. There's no point in letting one misconnection ruin like an entire night of being out and about. So the other thing is, the next one is like, it's the online dating ghost trick. How people kind of disappear online. So let's say you're messaging with someone. It's going great. You have the same taste in movies. You know, you find out that you have like the same dog. You went to church camp with their neighbor or something. And there's inside jokes. You already have pictured, you know, you guys walking down the aisle together or something. And the conversation goes on maybe for a while and things are great and you have plans to meet. And then all of a sudden this person cancels the date. What do you do?
Don't message them or talk to them at all.
Stop it immediately.
Yeah.
If this ghoster, because they disappear, they don't respond, you know, to your last comeback, don't sit there and overanalyze it and think, I shouldn't have said this, I shouldn't have said that, why did they talk? And you sit and talk to your girlfriends for 2 hours about it.
It
doesn't
matter.
Don't message them at all. Don't message them. Delete them. Don't see if they've already been back on low. They were on their account 3 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And so what I'm saying is these things hold us back and we let it paralyze us. But the quicker that you move forward from these things, you just got to let it go. You have no idea what was wrong. Maybe you have no idea what happened to him. And it doesn't matter. You didn't even meet this person. It really doesn't matter. So keep on matching and winking and swiping and try your luck with someone else. So don't
you know,
don't harp on things.
Don't harp on things. And don't, I guess I just hear this all the time because we always talk about this, how women, and I will agree with you on this, that women tend to, guys don't really talk about it. You might be upset if a woman doesn't get back to you, but you're not going to send Analyzer for 2 hours and show your friends the series of text messages and listen to his voicemail and watch all the messages. This is what women do. And I'm telling you, it is a way, you could solve world hunger, really, with all the time that women spend analyzing, like, ridiculous, and men, dates and things that didn't go your way. So this is happening more and more online, too, I think, that you get interested in someone and whatever.
Then you're going through everything about them online.
Yeah, my picture was bad. I knew I shouldn't put that photo up. Maybe, you know, it was the way I said this.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows? And even in life, bigger picture, the things that we worry about happening are the reasons why we think we got fired from the job or didn't get the loan or didn't get the raise is not what you think anyway. So just let it go and work on yourself. And also, it's important, too, when things happen, like even if you get rejected from a job or something, let's just say you didn't get an interview, you didn't get the job and the interview went well, there's nothing wrong with looking at it and saying, I wonder why, you know, maybe I didn't get it. And then going back and saying, you know what, I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm going to take all this energy that I could spend being really bummed out to, let's say you're applying for a writing job. I'm going to go home and I'm going to write for hours, 3 hours tonight. I'm going to really improve on this skill. It's not that maybe it wasn't even that you were a bad writer. Maybe they wanted a brunette instead of a blonde. It doesn't really matter. But the truth is, the more that you work on yourself and you put all that negative energy that you're thinking and improving whatever it is, your self-esteem, your skills, you'll fare better in the world. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we come back onto your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I am pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. When we've talked, you have the dog now, and you said kind of putting a damper on your love life.
Yeah.
But I know in the past we talked, you were dating online.
I'm still dating online.
On the apps, right?
Yeah. I'm on like three different apps right now. And it
is hard out there. But if you got it in you, stay on the apps.
It is time consuming. But I keep hearing with the whole dating app thing that it's all in the numbers, which is such a shitty thing to hear.
Dating's always been about the numbers. The more yeses you say to those invitations that you don't really want to go to that person's house, but you like some of their friends for their barbecue. Like, that's how you meet people.
Yeah, but I really like sweatpants.
I know. I think of all the time I spend getting ready in my life, like, could for sure solve world hunger or maybe learn like a third language or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
That's how the man holds women down.
Exactly.
What does he do?
He might shower, right? But we've got like outfits and makeup and things. No, you're right. I like sweatpants too. That's true. So you can stay home and swipe more often than going out, perhaps.
I definitely spend way more time on the apps than I go on the actual dates themselves. Right. But I've been going on a few dates. There was a period of a few weeks where I was going on like 2 dates a week, which is big for me because I don't date on school nights
because
I have things to do. So that's like
two weekend nights.
That's a lot. Oh, you do it on the weekend.
Yeah.
So Friday, Saturday, when do you see your friends? Like, when are we going to have dinner?
Well, I see my friends on
I guess it's better. We can see, like, Thursdays are better anyway.
Yeah. I like that. Or Sunday night family dinner with my girlfriends is great.
Okay, here's my question for you. So Friday, Saturday, you have a date.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably, I've dabbled in the apps for sure. I think when you're single and you want to find someone, you got to include him. But if I don't see why people don't. Like, just do that and go out. But you're saying that Friday and Saturday, you're like, nope, it's just for dating. And then when you probably match with a lot of people as well, is what I was going to say, doing so many apps, I'm sure you meet a lot of people.
I match.
How do you decide who gets Friday, who gets Saturday? Do you ever do two, like one for drinks, one for dinner? No.
I have done that.
Right. No, you have to. You gotta double up.
Plus, you already have your makeup on. Right. You took your, you know, yoga pants off. So, right. Like, might as well make the best use of it.
Exactly.
But I found that sometimes that can be problematic. One time, because I met a guy for coffee somewhere, and then a few hours later, I had a dinner date at a restaurant, and that guy walked in.
No.
I know.
The guy from the earlier date?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I just turned my whole body around. I don't know if he saw me.
Was he on a date as well, though, probably?
He was on dinner. I saw him walk in. And I was like, this is karma for being an asshole.
Right. No, but that's not an asshole thing to go out with someone else 3 hours later.
It's being an efficient asshole.
It's being efficient. We all do this. No, my friend Anna and I had this thing where we would match with the same exact guys on Tinder for like months. We were both single. And she's like, have you gone out with this one yet? I'm like, I have. So like, we'd kind of give each other the heads up on the guys that I'd already dated and she had already dated, which was just kind of funny because we look similar. We're the same age. And then one night before we had cross-checked our notes, she's like, I'm with a guy right now that you're actually going out with in 2 hours. Like, he had said, I have another date with this sex with Emily. She's like, don't bother. Like, it was, yeah.
Wait, same he date. Said on the date he had another
yeah,
date?
Yeah, something had come up about how often they were using the apps, or maybe he had looked her up on Facebook. I don't remember what, but somehow he said it. I don't remember now if it was like, she wrote my name up and said my friend Emily, because we're really tight. And she has a podcast, and he was like, oh, sex with Emily, I have a date with her. So then she got to save me from not going out with him. Anyway.
At least give the illusion that you're only going out with one person.
See, but that's why I want to correct you. So why play the game that it's the only one you saved, you're going to go home and like, after that and wash your hair.
Away.
Like they used to say in the 80s. Like, this, right? I'm sorry, not tonight. I have to wash my hair. The 70s? But was it the 60s? I don't know. When did women stay home and wash their hair? It was always an old thing.
I don't know.
But whatever
I try
you're
not
gonna
to
do.
Wash my hair.
Don't wash your hair. But I'm gonna go home and, like, you know, knit or whatever you're
yeah,
gonna
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're not an asshole for that. I wanna say you are being efficient, strong, independent woman.
That's what I've actually found, is that efficiency is my biggest tip for other people that are dating as well. And being efficient, like knowing what you like, knowing what you don't like, and not trying to play the game of texting and then eventually ghosting, or what is it called? Breadcrumbing?
Now, I don't know, but like, there's new things. What's the other one? There's like one called like passive day. Ghosting or something. Isn't there a new thing? Haunting. Okay.
I'm really good at telling guys I'm not interested. Like, okay. After a date, I'm really good at texting them the next day. Like, thanks so much. It was great meeting you. Not interested.
Right.
And moving on with
you
my
are
life.
Very
you
efficient.
Have to be
no,
efficient.
I,
like
have
that.
You always been that way? Are you like that? I feel like I
no,
get that sense.
No, I used to be nice. Like, you know how girls are taught to be nice?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have to be like, oh, like, sure, let's go on a second date, even though I have zero interest.
Exactly.
You know, all
right. I want to be nice. I want him to like me. Or I used to talk myself.
I don't want his feelings.
I don't want his feelings. He did buy me a nice dinner. I would think, well, maybe he'll grow on me.
Yeah.
Well, he is good on paper. Oh, my friends met him. They liked him. So now, how have you, Hannah Cranston, learned to be more efficient and know what you want? That's like a really good skill.
So two different things. One being, like, if I went on a date a few months ago, maybe, with a guy who told me that his 2018 resolution, his 2018 goal, was to develop empathy. Are you serious?
God. Yeah.
And then he asked for a second date. I'm like, you just told me you have zero empathy.
That is amazing. That's literally the best thing I've ever heard.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And
probably
you
from
know,
a very sweet, vulnerable place, maybe? Or no, did he not even attach to what empathy was?
I don't even think he understood what he was saying.
Right.
But he was, you know, tall, attractive, and Jewish. And so my mom is like, well, do you think that maybe, you know, something? I'm like, no.
Right. Like, because it already
for
it's a challenge
me.
For a lot of people. And just realizing empathy could take them years.
Yeah. So you just got to, like, if there's something like that,
that's
an instant deal breaker.
I freaking love that.
And then my new thing is on dates, and this is a bold move, but it shouldn't be bold, is I ask men if they consider themselves a feminist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just ask them if they identify as a feminist. And it's interesting to see how men either squirm or not, or how they respond, or how they justify that they don't identify as a feminist. Because it's kind of an interesting question to sit across from somebody at a table and be like, hi, do you think I'm an equal human to you?
Okay, but I could see many a man being taken aback, like especially right now with Me Too and everything, being like, feminist is so, it's so charged. What kind of answers are you getting?
Things like, you know, I'm really close with my mom, but, or I don't like to label myself, but, like that whole sort of thing.
I wonder if we could reframe it though, rather than like a yes or no or an answering it, but is there another way to get to the same answer? Because what if he just says, first of all, he might just say yes, because he's like, I'm not going to tell some hot chick who's like, he's probably my soulmate.
How many people say no?
Just to be assholes, or they're really not?
I think they really are not.
So why would that guy say, no, I'm not? He would say, I'm not a feminist because I believe I'm superior? Or?
I think the problem is I don't think people necessarily understand.
They don't understand. Word, that's what I was telling you also.
Means, right? Because of
that
course.
That was my first concern.
Yeah. Like the movement in itself has different sects that you may or may not agree with, right? There are sects within feminism that I do not agree with. There are sects that are not inclusive and things of that nature. There are some that are maybe a little too out there for me, but that's okay. I still agree with the core concept that we should be politically, economically, socially, and personally equal to men.
Okay.
So, and that's what the word means.
That's what it means. That's true. So I'm wondering though, I'm just helping you brainstorm for dates.
Maybe this is why I'm single. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, I gotta be honest. I think it's that some men, they might see that as kind of like an attack, or like there's no way to answer this correctly. It's kind of like saying, do you love and respect women? Like, are you a good guy? Are you not an asshole? Like, do you love women? Like, are you going to burn your bra for me? I don't know what guys think of it, but I feel like there's a way of saying, like, I think it would help by asking about their relationship with their moms and their sisters and other women in their life. If they like, oh, my boss, be like, he or she. That's how you find out. It's how they treat and think about women. I know that we shouldn't talk about exes on a date. I always say, don't talk about your ex on the first date or first few. I don't have very many rules in that way, but it's more like when people bring up their exes, typically it's like, oh, my ex was crazy. Everyone's ex was crazy, apparently. We all think the same person. And everyone's ex is crazy. And then there's a story there. However, I think it can also be telling, because when someone's still in the mode of like, oh, she was crazy or she did all these things, they still haven't taken responsibility for their relationship yet. So it's like, because there's two to tango, there's two people in every relationship.
Totally.
So yes, they could have cheated and lied and stole all your money. And you could still say they did all these things, but you were with them. You chose it. What was it? What was going on in your life maybe that, and granted, we're also met victims sometimes for sure. I'm just talking about the whole ex theory.
I'm going
off on a whole thing here. But like, I just think you can tell a lot about people's relationship with women by asking them. And eventually when you get to the ex thing, finding out like what really happened. Have they healed? All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can tell, like you're talking about now, like if, how the way a man talks about his mom or their exes. That's a really good point. If they, you know, express, you know, respect for them and it just didn't work out, as soon as they say, I still have a lot of respect for her, but blah, 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 then you're
then like, that's a good thing, right? Yeah, we're still really good friends. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Okay, yeah, you're doing good. Okay, so what else have you found out in rapid fire dating in this stage of Hannah?
Guys don't like to be told that you're not interested or that you don't want to continue. I actually brought texts.
Oh, I love that.
I brought
real life texts because what you're saying is now you're also being more decisive and you're telling them you're not playing like,
no, see,
you're
I don't
not ghosting.
I don't want to play the
I
game.
Love
I don't want to play the whole, like, let me, you know, string you along for however long, or pretend that I'm interested. If I'm not, it's not doesn't work for me and it's not good for you either.
Right. Okay.
Like,
right.
Isn't it way better to just break and then
honest.
Move on with your day?
Yeah.
Right. So I told a guy that I wasn't interested in continuing our relationship, but it was great getting to know him, and I wished him all the best. So then he goes into this like 4-paragraph thing about how I'm the problem with the LA dating scene.
No.
Yeah.
Read it. Let me see your song.
He says something to the effect of like, well, he wanted me to meet his friends like on the third date, which was a little, I mean, whatever. I've introduced people like very early on. Yeah, this is only after 2 dates. Okay. So he gets very upset that I didn't get to meet his friends, that I'm the problem with the LA dating scene. But then this is where it gets weird. He says, now you've left my dog without a mom. This was after two dates.
This is your next show or whatever you're doing. Was it a joke, though?
I don't know.
I think that's a funny thing to say. Come on.
Maybe.
Think about it. You've left my, no. After three dates?
This was two dates.
Two dates. He says, now you've left my... Let me hear it. I think it was a joke.
I can't say. Did you meet the
dog?
Name.
Did you have a dog date?
No, we never met. I never met the dog. You
never met the dog. Interesting.
No, dog date. That's a big deal. That is you introduce now, somebody to your dog.
It's like your child. I'd
introduce somebody to my parents before my dog. Like,
right. Because what if your dog just starts pissing on them? Then you can't date this person.
But they don't like them? Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. On.
Wait, so that's but what do you say in these texts when that's a hard thing after two dates? So you get in front of it.
Yeah.
You don't even wait for them to say, Hannah, oh my God, last night was amazing. Let's do something Saturday. You're like, nope.
I try to be like, you know, so great getting to know you, but I'm not interested in committing, you know, continuing.
What do you say? I'm not interested. I used to say like, I'm not feeling a connection. I'm not feeling.
I said it was like, great getting to know you a bit, but I don't think I'm interested in continuing our relationship. I wish you the best though. Exclamation point.
Okay, good.
So if you add an exclamation point, everything is nicer.
Right. No, I think this is great. It's concise. Now, this guy didn't want to take it, or he just made you feel bad.
Yeah, guys get frustrated sometimes. And I get that. Dating is frustrating, and it's hard, and rejection sucks. But I think the way that we can have better dating experiences is if we shift our mindset, right? It's not about rejection. Like it's not
rejection. It's just not. You weren't a match.
We weren't a match. It's not about chemistry. Like if somebody's not into you, that's a great knowledge to have. Knowledge is power. Then use that, you know, power to go find somebody who's obsessed with you, because there's somebody out there
who
thinks you are the hottest. But if this isn't that person, why try to like force them to be?
Right. Why spend so much time and think about the, because he might have been like, oh, Hannah, what did I do wrong? Or women would think like, oh, why did he do this? You get that kind of message, it's a freedom. Yeah, this rejection thing, we got to stop. Well, that's one thing I want to say is we do spend a lot of time, I think, I have so many friends who contact me, actually more guys lately, who have gotten texts like you just sent. But the women, I think you are such a good role model here, because my guy friends are getting texts that are similar, but they're couched in all this other language that they've actually sent me texts to decipher. They're like, do you think she's trying to end it or not? Because she'll say something to the effect of like, same thing, like they'll have gone out a few times and my guy friends are like, and it was amazing and she made out with me, we made plans, but now she wrote me this. And it's like, my life's really busy right now, work is just taking over and I'm traveling and I think you're great, but right now is not a great time for me because I'm busy or something like that. And then they're like, do you think I should still pursue it? Should I convince her? Because then they don't get it. But you're like, no connection, bye-bye.
Spell it out. You have to spell it out.
Yeah.
And I also think another component of it is like oftentimes the way we have, I guess, stereotypical gender norms, men feel like they're facing rejection a lot more than women because they're like supposed to ask the woman out and do all this kind of stuff. So I've actually challenged myself, and I challenge other women to do this, is ask a guy out. Or, you know, confront somebody. I thought there was a guy that was really hot at my gym, so I went up to him and handed him my number.
You did?
And I was like, whoa! Most liberating feeling. I walked out, I was like, I don't even care if he texts me. Like, I felt on top of the world because I took a huge risk.
Yeah.
And I think if more women take those risks, then we can, like, level the playing field and we can have real relationships that aren't so rooted in fear.
You're so right. We're so suffocated and held back by fear. Like, everything. Procrastination is fear. Anxiety is fear. Like, stress is fear.
Totally.
Everything's fear. I love that you just went up to him. Because I don't see, like, everything else should be equal. How do you feel, though, since you should ask people out, Hannah Cranston? I want to know how you feel about a new study that said more than 60% of women prefer to pay on the first date.
Love it.
You're going to pay on the first date?
Love it. I always pull out my credit card. Not all men let me pay on the first date. There's a lot of guys who still like want to do that, which, you know, that's a lovely gesture, and I'll say I'll pay for the next date or whatever it may be, but every single time I offer, no matter what.
But do you do a reach and hope they don't take it secretly, take your money? Because come on, you pull a full on, or do you do this, the reach?
No, I do the full on. I pull it out all the way.
But you whip it out?
I whip it
out. You whip out the mask.
I try to whip it out before them too, so that they know.
And do they
know I mean business.
No, I think this is this is interesting, because I have to say I was still in the feel of like, I kind of like when a guy would pay, because I don't know, there's just something like, I feel like they I was kind of coming from the old mindset that it'll be like emasculating or men like to be in charge or men, I don't know, just kind of an older norm around this. And I think it has changed. And then there's also part that it's like, also I've gone through the whole phase of like, I'll make an effort, but I don't want him to take my credit card, even though I offered. And then there's the ones, so I've kind of gone in different phases of it, but now I'm like, you know, if we really are all equal in so many ways, and plus most dates are paid for ahead of time, you're doing an event, an adventure, how many times are you really at dinner? Like, dates are so many more things right now that I feel like maybe a good way to think about it, and not for everybody, because it also depends if you're dating someone who's more, I don't know what, who asked for the date, who planned something extravagant. You're not going to split it. It wasn't, you weren't in charge.
Right. I think there are like some exceptions, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it, because I do think, yeah, I agree.
I think like in some cases, like if you can tell that a guy is feeling insecure or, you know, the word you used, emasculated, because you want to, you know, foot the bill or split the bill or however it is, I think that's something to take notice of, but then of course retreat, right? Because you don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable on a date. But I do think that there are some politics to it, right? Because if, like, so for example, I retract my former statement, because I was invited on a first date. It was a blind date, and he invited me to Nobu. And girl, I am a boss bitch, but I ain't Nobu boss bitch.
No, right.
You know what
I
mean?
Right, Nobu is one of the most, like, beautiful. Was it Malibu or Nobu?
It was West Hollywood.
Yeah, but it's an amazing Japanese restaurant. Yeah, like, one of the best in Los Angeles. It's expensive.
But it's like at least $200-$300 a person. Right. At least.
Even if you're not drinking it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so on that date, I was like, I don't know what to do. So I still pulled out my credit card, because I was like, no, like, feminism.
Right. Right.
But then I was like, oh my God, please don't take this. Like,
right. I'm over my limit. Please don't accept it.
I have to pay rent this month.
Shouldn't have bought the Zara dress. Okay. So
if there's like a situation like that where somebody, there's a huge disparity in salary, and somebody suggests a restaurant that's out of your budget, I think
you're
right. Can sort of feel out the situation
case by case. If a guy or a woman, whatever kind of relationship you're in, I guess it feels like if you're, you know, whoever you're dating, same sex, gay, straight, wherever stage you're at, I think if you do the asking and the planning, maybe that's who should pay.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to kind of like, you planned it, you pay for it, and then maybe next time, because I think this is where my heart goes out to men, where I think like men are used to a lot of rejection, and men, because I also think like they're always the ones who have to make the decisions, make the first move, make the plan. So like, why not kind of like help with it in a way by not making these assumptions that they have the money. Obviously, they shouldn't take you somewhere they can't afford.
But it gets expensive for men. I always say it's expensive for women because we have to buy the makeup and pay for the wax, or, you know, whatever else we do
prior
to a date.
When you say that, now I never want to pay for a meal again, because no man can ever match up to all we spend.
All we spend in preparation. Right. But it does get expensive for men. And, you know, I want to acknowledge that, because I never want to take advantage of that. And I think a way that I've been doing it on my dates that I've found to be successful is, if he pays for dinner, then I'll be like, okay, I'll get, like, if we're going to go to drinks afterwards, I'll get the drinks afterwards. I'll get, like, I had a date this weekend. I got ice cream afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, you get that double scoop. You
know? Right. Go ahead, honey.
Sugar mama
get
over
sprinkles.
Here.
Get sprinkles. Right. Make it a double. No, you're right. I thought, exactly. I like that. Because I like, you know, this basically says that, yeah, there's the women are realizing the financial pressure dating can have on men, and they don't want to take advantage of it. And confidence. So the reason why I found interesting, too, is that this study says that confidence is one of the most attractive qualities in a prospective partner. I think that that's true. I think men and women always say, if you're confident, you can, like, literally rule the world and perhaps be my partner. So a woman seeing that as a power move rather than the past, we might have seen it as a more emasculating move. So it could be its most go both ways. Kind of like,
totally. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into power moves, because I think this is really important. So I think that's a huge power move if you suggest to pay. My new power move is never wearing heels on the first date. I wear Converse almost every single first date. Yeah. That is like my power move.
Because you're like, I'm not dressing up for you.
Yeah, just like I'm not coming like straight from the gym.
You're not wearing the pajamas. You're not wearing the yoga pants.
No, unfortunately.
So you're taking off the yoga pants.
But it's like I come casual. Like I'm you know, I'm excited to meet you, but
even
I'm not
Nobu?
Trying to be uncomfortable.
Did you wear Converse to Nobu?
I wore booties. I didn't wear like heels.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Booties are the kind of not trying too hard Converse. Okay, guys, let's take some calls.
All right, let's talk to Scott, who is 53 in Florida. He needs advice on how to approach the dating scene after being absent for so long.
All right, hey, Scott, that's a good question. I'm going to help you. Tell me what's going on.
Hey, let me at least say, hey, Emily, and I want to say, because nobody ever says a word about it. James back there, Jamie is, she's killer. She has me in hysterics on a near nightly basis with a little sarcastic drops.
Oh, really? Oh, she's a bomb. Yeah, thank you. Thank Jamie's you. My girl. People, yeah.
Jamie's popping, and now Michelle has to come out of her shell.
Yeah, she's doing it. Michelle's coming out.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just new.
Hey, it's a frightening atmosphere. You got to work your way through all of the sexual devices. You know, it's an uphill battle.
It is, Scott, but we got her. We're a good family here. Yeah, Jamie's the bomb. I am grateful for every single day. Really. 3 years we've worked together, and then we started the show, and she's like, bam. It's amazing. Michelle's great. Yeah. So how can we help you, Scott, my little team here of love? How can we help you?
Well, my life is sort of disarray in the romantic side. I have an ex-wife that I'm friendly with, but not romantic with, although she would like to be romantic. My current tenant until August 1st is an ex-girlfriend from 2013. So the ex-girlfriend leaves August 1st, so that's being solved. The ex-wife, I don't want to be romantic with, so that's easy enough to handle.
Yep.
And if she doesn't want to be just friends, that's fine. So I put myself on a dating site on Sunday night. And had a few things to look at Monday morning, which was surprising.
Okay.
And I've been talking to somebody, and I'm not a big fan of this texting.
Yeah.
So we immediately got to the phone thing.
Good.
And it seems, you know, we got some good reports going on, but I don't know the rules. I don't know what I'm allowed to ask about. I mean, we got a couple of things in common. No kids, independent, 420 friendly, so that would be our wine to loosen up. And
perfect.
Says to me, I have to be prepared because she's kinky. I'm going to meet her for the first time on Thursday. I don't know what the grooming rules are. Mm. I'm lost. I don't know anything.
Okay, so Scott. Okay.
She sounds kinky.
Okay. Well, first of all, Scott, you sound like a good guy. You have sense of humor because Jamie is hilarious. But listen, I got to tell you something, Scott. And is that you're in a good place? First of all, you got on the dating site. You already found a woman who's kinky. So really, here's the thing about and how old is she? How old is she?
She's 48.
Okay, so she's like in your generation. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so I think that there's a certain element of you just being you. And being honest, Scott, who's gotten through dating before, and even if you say, I don't know the rules, I haven't done it, and you're being your authentic self and saying that is, oh no, they're freaking about to go in a minute. And I also think that, here's the thing, when she says she's kinky, I think it's great to ask her what that means. Tell me more about it and to ask a lot of questions. As far as grooming, I don't care about it, but a lot of guys trim. Some guys shave. You got to see what's comfortable for you. And I love that you're meeting right away. And I think the more you can talk to people and meet them sooner than just keep texting and all the apps. And the last thing I'm going to tell you is, because we do have to go, is that now that you're out there dating, let everyone know that you're single and look at every opportunity when you're out doing errands in your life that there are single people everywhere. And you just got to talk to them and say hello and be your fantastic self. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know, what kind of topics do you want to hear about? Are there certain things that you would like to hear more of on the show? I always want to know because I always want to make a show that feels good to you and me. All right, guys, thank you. And thanks to our amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.